7 or 8 years ago, I was in a restaurant when a family of four was seated near us. The parents and their two youngest children, each took out their phones and stared at them. I kept waiting for one of them to speak. Not a word, except the waitress who took their orders. I could hardly believe my eyes. And as later we paid the bill and left, they were eating, still in silence, looking only at their screens. That meal, it seems to me, was the very antithesis of the Eucharist, where we gather to share the body and blood of Christ, which reconciles us to one another, opens us up to know and receive God's goodness, and unites us in a hospitable, worshiping community. Our readings all talk about hospitality and sharing. The first reading from Genesis recounts an event that prefigured the work and mission of Jesus Christ. Abraham, here still called Abram, is returning victoriously from a battle. In a war that had gone badly at the beginning, Abraham's nephew Lot, of the famous Pillar of Salt, was taken captive. Abram and his followers went after them and won a great victory. On his return, he's greeted by Melchizedek, a king who is also a priest. Bringing bread and wine, Melchizedek gave them to Abram, blessing the God of Abram. And from the earliest centuries of Christianity, Melchizedek's bread and wine have been linked with the Eucharist. Like Melchizedek, we use bread and wine, and like him, we also bless the God of Abraham at every Eucharist. Biblical scholars agree that our second reading, written less than 30 years after the Last Supper, is the oldest account we have of the Eucharist. In the face of problems the Corinthians are having in celebrating together, St. Paul recalls the Eucharistic tradition to recapture its true meaning. Essentially, the Eucharist makes present in the community the sacrificial love of Jesus enacted on Calvary, but foreshadowed at the supper on the night before. To eat and drink the cup, quote, in memory of him, is again, quote, to proclaim his death. And it isn't just an historical event, but a loving sacrifice of life for the benefit of others, that they might be free and enter into a new covenant sealed with his blood. At every Eucharist, we recall the Last Supper and Jesus' death as we celebrate in the present and wait for his coming in future glory. As to our gospel, the feeding of the 5,000 comes at a pivotal moment. A few verses before today's passage, King Herod asks, "So who is this I hear such reports about?" Jesus, at the height of his popularity and acclaim, comes to an end of his ministry in Galilee. After the story of the feeding, he will turn and head towards Jerusalem and death. The importance of this story is underlined by the fact that feedings occur 6 times in the Gospel, twice in Matthew and Mark, once each in John and Luke. This story recalls previous miracles, like the manna that fed Israel in the desert, or the story of Elisha the prophet, who multiplied 12 barley loaves to feed 100 men with some left over. Note that the event isn't initiated by Jesus, but by the apostles. They think it's time to send people home so they can find food and lodging for the night. But Jesus responds to them with a massive challenge. Give them some food yourselves. The apostles must provide the crowds with what they need. They were probably horrified at this instruction because, for them, such large-scale hospitality was impossible. But Jesus isn't asking this to be unreasonable. He's training them to become ministers of God's hospitality. The people sit down in groups, a clear sign that they're about to be fed, and then invoking heaven, and with clear echoes of the Eucharist, Jesus blesses and breaks the loaves and fish, miraculously making it possible for the 12 to feed the entire crowd, not merely adequately, but so copiously that each of the distributors had a basket full of broken pieces left over. Complete abundance is the sign and mark of God's hospitality. A detail I noticed for the first time this year is that not only doesn't Jesus initiate the feeding, he doesn't deal directly with the crowd. He leaves the distribution entirely up to the disciples. Again, Jesus is apprenticing them to be ministers of the hospitality of God when, after his ascension, he is physically removed from the scene. The episode then clearly foreshadows the Christian Eucharist, the rite in which the church will experience and celebrate God's hospitality until the time of his return. Just as Jesus fed the 5,000, so today he feeds us in the Eucharist. Not only that, he has made each and every one of us ministers of God's hospitality. As such, we can't possibly stay glued to our screens like that family. Instead, we're called to live as the body and blood of Christ, reaching out in love and gratitude to everyone we meet.